Swap this around quick. There we go. Is that working? There we go. Thank you. And by God's grace, we'll come back to that. I know we've been continuing through a book of Revelation, and by God's grace, we will come back to that as the Lord leads. But I just feel prompted of the Lord to do this morning. So let's stay obedient to the Lord. Amen. And again, these words that the Lord would bring out in worship, my friends, you know, where there is no revelation, some people say that word vision, but like a revelation, where there is no fresh word of the Lord, if you like, the Lord revealing something, the people can perish and they can cast off restraint, the Bible says, okay? So this is why it's so important. You know, of course, I stress this as a pastor because, you know, we're the people, we need to be in church. But this is why the Bible emphasizes, do not forsake your gathering together, all the more as you see the days approaching. Yes? So we can stir up one another and stir one another up and give these words of exhortation, love one another, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And there's so much, you know, that happens in the gathering. And if we don't come to the gathering, we miss out. Yes? And it's like you push a pause button in your life, and maybe sometimes years later, I've heard so many testimonies of people that have almost given up on church, and through whatever offense or hurt or whatever it may be, years have gone by, but later they come back and they think, oh, I've just wasted those years. Yeah? How I hated those words of instructions, it says in Proverbs, because of the arrogance and the pride of my heart. I didn't like what I was hearing. It's getting too hot for me, yes? But it's so important that we gather like this and the Lord would speak to us. So again, I can just stress, if these words are for you this morning, lay hold of them, yes? Because that's coming from the Lord to you this morning. Amen. So I'm going to read Psalm 46, and we'll just see as the Lord leads us, because this came to me in prayer this morning. And the title in my Bible here, that's just been put in there, is God, the refuge of his people and conqueror of the nations. To the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah, a song for Alamoth. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Lord, we come to you this morning, Lord, and we thank you. Lord, even as we sang this morning, you are our hiding place. Though we may be weak, we can say we are strong in you. Thank you this morning, Lord, for salvation. Thank you for healing in your name. Thank you for the hope and the future that we have in you, to know that this life is not just it. Lord, there is so much more to come. And Lord, I thank you for your words of truth. We thank you for the revelation that you give to your children. Lord, we thank you for the words that you speak to your church. And Lord, we are so grateful for the words words in the Bible, your very word that has been penned down and preserved for us that we may look at it this morning. And Lord, as we come this morning, we just so utterly depend on you and look to you that you would speak to us, because you know exactly where each and every one of us are at this morning, Lord. You know exactly where we're at. We cannot hide from you. Lord, you know, you examine us, you see everything about us, you know every hair upon our heads this day. And Lord, how wonderful your invitation. Remind again that we should come unto you. Lord, that your arms are stretched out like that prodigal story of the prodigal son, running down the street, longing for your lost son to come home. Lord, I just pray for whoever those people may be today that are, Lord, distant from you, but Lord, today they would come running to our loving Heavenly Father. Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, take this passage this morning, and Lord, use it for your glory. Lord, no preparation of my heart this morning, but Lord, I know by your Spirit you'd lead us as we go through these things now, and that you'd speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 First question then on this passage, my friends, where is your refuge? When I read this morning, when it says God is our refuge and strength. Yes? This is a big question you can ask of every single one of us this morning, anybody in the Western world today, okay? Because when you look at the East and Africa and many persecuted countries that are, you know, far worse off than we are, we think of Ukraine and the wars going on in various places, my friends. At moments like that, particularly for believers, it'll be easy for them to say, God is my refuge. Yes. But think about our culture, our society today. And we think of all the things that we have, all the things that we hold dear to ourselves. Yes. Our security, our homes, our pensions, our long-term plans, whatever it may be, my friends. And I know we can become so secure in those things that those things can become our refuge. But this is the cry of the psalmist here, that God is our refuge. Yes? Naked we came into this world, naked we'll depart. We'll come into this world with nothing we'll depart. It's only those works of faith, my friends. Nothing we can carry with us. I was watching an archaeological video of the mummies, you know, the pharaohs of old. How they've been mummified, and they find them holding on and clinging on sometimes to their wealth and their artifacts and all these things. What good is it to them then? Yes? Nothing. Nothing. You store up all these things and treasures here on the earth. You know, fool, God, you know, Jesus would say, this very night your life may be required of you. And then where will all that go? Make God your refuge. You know, Jesus spoke so clearly. I think it's in Matthew chapter 5 where it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these things shall be added unto you. Yes? And this is the big mind shift that we need in the Western world. And I believe this is a challenge for each and every one of us this day, because we can so allow the world to get into our minds and, my friends, even allow the world to come into church. We see this happening all the time. This culture imposes itself on the church when it should be the other way around. Yes? Yeah. It should be the other way around. We are the salt and the light of the world, yes? We are meant to be that city on the hill that cannot be hidden, that people should be looking at and seeing the love and the joy and the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and people should be looking how we love one another. And by this will all men know that you are my disciples, Jesus said. What a challenge that was, yes? When he said to his disciples, you love one another. And then basically turns around to the whole world and says, look at these people and how they love one another. By this you will know that it is my Father who sent me, and you'll know about Jesus. And then you think, oh, gross, Lord, how often we get this wrong. Don't let them look right now. Yes? So the challenge is, God is our refuge. I believe this is the thrust of this passage here, my friends. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God so brings us through times of trouble, okay? We're going to go back by God's grace. I'm not going to go to all my preparation on 144,000 for another time by God's grace. But hopefully we know by now, when we're looking at this time of the tribulation, my friends, there's not a time of God just pouring out his anger and his wrath, which it is, upon a fallen and a rebellious world. But it's God pouring out his grace. He's using that tribulation, that pressure, if you like, so that people will turn to him. And isn't this true of each and every one of us? Even as Christians, you know, we can find ourselves drifting away from God, becoming complacent in our own lives, in our own worldviews and whatever it is. Everything is fine and hunky-dory. And before you know it, you are just bumbling along as a believer. But the minute calamity strikes, the minute something goes wrong, my friends, that is a test, isn't it? That is a test. That is a test for us. And here we can say God is our refuge and strength. God is a very present help in trouble. He is not far from any one of us. How many testimonies are in this room alone, my friends, where we have gone through horrific things, yeah? I'm sure if we had to hear half of the testimonies in this room alone of what people have been through, yes? And they can give that beautiful testimony of how God was my help. God and God only. When I thought this is the end. No, he is a very present help in trouble. And then it says in verse 2, therefore, we will not fear. This is not an encouraging word. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. Come on, don't be afraid. No, we will not fear. You know, as I was praying this morning and as that word came, and Jim brought that word now this morning when I was here, stacking out the chairs and I'm praying, I just kept... have you ever prayed, my friends? I'm just sharing with you. Have you ever prayed when you're praying like you always do? Yes? And then there's like a gear shift for the mechanics and the engineers here. There's like a gear change that happens, okay? And sometimes the Lord will elevate your prayer and it's just all of a sudden you go to another level. My friends, this happened to me this morning, okay? As I was praying for us as a church. And all of a sudden I'm finding myself praying, Lord, release us from anything that will hold us back, okay? Release us from the fear of this world. Release us from the fears that we have put upon ourselves. Yes? Bring us into that place that you have purchased for us. Because as I was praying, it's just I have this revelation of who we are in Christ Jesus, seated with him in the heavenly places. God has himself sent his son to die for each and every one of us, my friends. And as we looked at last week, it wasn't just to atone for our sins. He wanted us to stay and wait, his disciples, it was so he could pour out the power of his Holy Spirit upon them that is available for us now. And as I was praying that this morning for each and every one of us, and me and my family, Lord, forgive us when we are flapping around here with all the stuff around about us, and we forget the great price that you paid for us so that we may be victorious in your name. And we can do like the psalmist says, therefore we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed. Yes? What do we trust in this world? My friends, riches, the food, all this stuff. Here it's saying, what if the very earth underneath you, the whole world should be removed? Where does it leave you and me? Where is your faith? Where is your trust? Yes? Even though the whole earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. You know, I believe in studying the book of Revelation, as we shall do as we go along. These are actual things that may happen, yeah? Well, will happen. God will destroy this earth. It says there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. It says every island will be moved from its place. This whole world will change geologically, you know, as it were, before that Jesus comes back the second time during the time of the tribulation. This world will be literally shaken. It'll be a time such as never been before since the Lord created the earth. And so these things are actually going to happen, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. And you know, we even got ancient, proof that you can see there's ancient civilizations that are just buried under the sea, perhaps with the flood and all kinds of earthquakes and things. You can see it's just buried under the sea, whole cities, yes? You can go look it up. terrible things that will come upon this earth. Where will our faith be? Where will be our security when things go wrong? Where will we be if tonight, Lord, everything in this country should change? And we've seen it not so long ago, yes, with COVID restrictions and lockdowns. And it's like the whole world just all of a sudden has changed before our very eyes. And I remember those times. I remember the church was much fuller. Well, not fuller, but we had a lot more people joining online and people were at prayer meetings because it was something had shaken in our hearts. What's going on here? Is this the end times? But there's something about these calamities that God uses for good. But the question is, where is our trust? Who is our refuge? What is our refuge? No, let God be your refuge. Though the waters, verse 3, roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, the context here, even in all of these things, we will not fear. Jesus said so many times, you know, do not fear, do not worry. My dad was taking us through that Sunday night. Be of good cheer. Be happy. Be encouraged. Because Jesus overcame the world, yes? And who are those who overcome but those who have faith? Put their faith in the risen Lord Jesus Christ, my friends. I'm sure if the Lord could just remove the scales from our eyes this morning, and even as you pray, as I did this morning, and he takes you into that next gear, if you like, and you could just for a glimpse and see who you are in Christ Jesus. And you can for that moment just understand why it is the enemy just always wants to put a lid over you and distract you with this and distract you with that and make you worry about this and make you worry about that. But if you could just come to that place and say, you know what, I am a blood-washed saint. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ in me. What a thought. The very Spirit of God abiding in me. That if I walk out in obedience and in tune with the Holy Spirit and the Lord should speak through me a word of knowledge into somebody's life, it will have an impact. Yes. My friends, you could walk by the power of God and confront a demoniac and cast a demon out in the name of Jesus. Not your authority, not my authority, but in his name. You see, what a privilege we have. What a privilege we have. And then it says in verse 4, there is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God. I think every time I read about in the Bible about the river and the fountain of living water, you know, and the river that you read about in Ezekiel that he wades into, you know, knee deep, ankle deep, and then eventually so deep. I believe it's speaking of the Spirit of God. When God will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, my friends. And that's going to come one day when Jesus comes back in power and glory. But even now, that is made available for all those who would believe in Jesus. As we said last week, not to be a half-baked Christian, but to say, Lord, I want all that you have purchased for me, not because I'm selfish, but because you paid for it. I'm doing Jesus a disservice if I don't enter into all that he's done for me. Oh, my friends, a word went forth this morning. Come unto me, says Jesus. Come unto me, all those who are labor, those who are heavy laden, those who are stressed, those who are anxious, come unto Jesus this morning. He will give you rest. Jesus says, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. It is not possible, I want to say this morning, it is not possible for an unbeliever to know this peace. And again, in the testimonies that will be in this very room, many of us will be able to testify how we have been through horrible times in life, yet at peace. Like Jesus, fast asleep on the boat when all the wind and the waves were roaring. And all his disciples are like, we're going to die. I always say, Lord, may I be like you, fast asleep, knowing I'm in the center of God's will. Doesn't matter what kicks off around, though the earth be removed, I will not fear. As long as I know I'm in the center of your will. But if I'm out there being tossed to and fro by the wind because of my own rebellious heart and my wrong choices, Lord, let that wind blow and toss me to and fro until I get back into the center of your will. Yes, I cannot afford to be outside of your will. when it speaks of this river whose streams shall make glad the city of God. Fruits of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, all these things, you know. And against such there is no law, Paul says. Joy and happiness we can experience in the world as an unbeliever. Yes, you get a lovely new car, move into a lovely new house, get a new job, I'm happy. Yes, meet your life partner, your whatever, all the joys that life can bring. There's so many things in this world that can bring us great joy. But again, the joy and the gladness and the overflow only possible for a born-again believer. And if that's not been your experience, my friends, then I would say to you this morning, pray. Seek the Lord. Spend time in His presence. Say, Lord, it's not enough for me that I'm just going to keep repeating these prayers and saying the things that I always do. No. Lord, I want to enter into all that You have for me. I want to know the fullness and the abundance and the overflow of Your Holy Spirit in my life. I challenge you, begin to pray like that in your quiet time. Seek the Lord, my friends. He's standing at the door, as we heard this morning. He's knocking, waiting for you to open to Him. Say, Lord, come in. Lord, I want You in my life. I want You to take over in my life. I want You in my marriage. I want You in my house. I want You in my work. I don't want what I want in my life. I want You want in my life. And there's this river whose streams make glad the city of our God. The holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. It's the dwelling place of God. And where does God dwell? In the New Testament, it tells us He now dwells within us through His Holy Spirit. Hey, we are the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that? What an awesome thought that is. Which is why the day of Pentecost is so profound. And Jesus didn't want to make a small thing of it, my friends. He wanted His people to understand what a significant gift He is giving to us. Oh, you know, it was over the Christmas time. It just hit me, you know, when we read that about the angels that appear in heaven. And the shepherds are there, and the angels cry, glory to God in the highest, and peace and goodwill to men on earth. You know, it just hit me, that sort of different dimension that they're coming from. You know, and they understanding what has just taken place. Today to you is born the Savior of the world, human beings. Glory to God in the highest. Peace and goodwill to all of humanity. Look what's taken place. And human shepherds are like, hey, wow. And for all of that time since Jesus was born and He died and, you know, rose again, poured out His Spirit, many people are still scratching their heads trying to understand. All the angels of heaven are rejoicing. Don't you know, human beings, what has been done for you? There is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God. When you're filled with the Spirit, my friends, these things become more true to you. They become more real to you. And you think back, wow. God sent His Son into this world that we may be saved. God is in the midst of her. Verse 5. She shall not be moved. You know, or shaken. So the picture here is all of the earth is shaken. All of the heavens is shaken. Every island, every mountain removed from its place. The very earth, as it were, pulled out from under you. But those who put their trust in God, they will not be shaken. Not be shaken, not be moved. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. If you are abiding in the shadow of the Almighty, my friends, if you are in Jesus, we sang this morning, you are my hiding place. You will not be moved. Because you are standing on Christ, the solid rock. All other ground, as that old hymn says, or that old song says, is sinking sand. My friends, it'll come to nothing. Only those who are built on Jesus. You shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. I love this, my friends, because again, how many testimonies have you heard, and how many of us can testify of our own lives, yeah? When we are going through a trial, Whether that be a financial trial, a health trial, a marriage trial, whatever it is, my friends, we may be going through a difficult time. And as a born-again believer, you pray with faith, and you trust, and you hope, and you confess, and you stand upon the Word of God. And it's just like the heat gets turned up, and the heat gets turned up. But how many of us can testify in times gone past that at the break of dawn, number 99.99, the Lord comes through for you? As he always promised he would. It was as good as done at the beginning. Yes. And yet we always fear and we fret and we stress. At the break of dawn, my friends. And if this is a trial you're going through now, look back on your own life, believer. Look back on your own life. A wise teacher once said, write down. And those key moments in your life when you know without a shadow of a doubt, God did something in your life, gave you a breakthrough, gave you a victory, redirected your life. A miracle took place. Nobody else might understand the miracle, but you know this was a miracle. Write it down. Put a date next to it. And then when you are feeling discouraged and you are feeling down, you go read that again. You know, to my shame, I've stopped doing that over the years. But I remember years ago, I did that. And I did, and there's so many things I've forgotten about. You think you remember them, but I've honestly forgotten them. And as I read it, I'm just like halfway through, and I'm like, Lord, I am utterly ashamed of my lack of faith in this current situation. Because I can see how you never let me down. At the break of dawn, God shall help her just at the break of dawn. Verse 6, the nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted, my friends. When Jesus comes back, that sword in his mouth, my friends, that ultimate authority. He will slay the very beast, the Antichrist that so many people we are looking for and so afraid of, yes? No, we shall fear nothing. Our king is coming by the very word of his mouth. He will defeat the Antichrist, yes? And he will cast, Jesus won him. He will send an angel to cast Satan into a pit and chain him for 1,000 years. This is our king. This is on whose side we are if we're hiding in him. No, we will not fear. It's not an arrogant statement. We will not fear because we know who's in control. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts, my friend, hear this. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. That Lord of hosts that comes up so many times in the Bible literally means the Lord of armies. The hosts of armies, my friends. Not Putin's armies or America's armies or UK's armies or China's armies. No, my friends. The armies of heaven. And when you read some of the miracles in the Old Testament, when one angel appeared and destroyed many people in one night, one angel. Just but one of God's soldiers, if you like. My friends, God is on our side. The Lord of hosts is with us. If you are abiding in him, if you have made God your refuge, if you are hiding under the shadow of his wings, then the Lord of hosts is with you. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Verse 8 says, come, behold the works of the Lord. You know, one of the things I'm always intrigued by when I read, particularly through the Old Testament, you know, God took them out of Egypt, and all the many miracles. And you know, whenever God did something significant, crossing the Jordan, you know, set up an altar or, you know, put some stones there as a memorial. So that when people will walk past and they'll ask, what does this mean? Well, let me explain to you, young man, young woman. This is what our God did when we came out of Egypt, when we crossed the Jordan. Do you see? God wants us to remember. When we take communion like we do this morning, lest we forget, yes? Even in the world we do this. We put up things and we put up monuments and stuff so we do not forget our past. Do not forget the struggles and the battles that has won our freedom today. My friends, as Christians, come, let us behold the works of the Lord. Oh, you know, depression is a real issue today, isn't it? Among so many people, I'm sure there's people you know, even now, that are struggling with depression. But I'm convinced, as a born-again believer, we may go through times of depression like Elijah, and you know, but it's not a prolonged, sustained thing that we should go through. No. My friends, we can cast that off in Jesus' name, yes? And we can live in the power and the life that He has given us. But a lot of the times, I think we can become so depressed because we become so inward-looking. And we think about me and how this makes me feel. And my friends, I extend to you even in church, yes? Western church, I think we're largely to blame for this, many Western churches. We've made church about me. I want to come to church. What am I going to get from it? Yeah? Am I going to be blessed by the music? Am I going to be wowed by the love I receive? Or am I going to be offended when somebody walks past me and they didn't greet me? Or they didn't take time to talk to me today? Or am I coming to church saying, Lord, I'm just coming. I'm just so grateful to be amongst other believers. You know, we were praying this morning at the fastest growing church in the world right now in Iran. My friends, where they are brainwashing people to hate Israel, hate America, hate anything Christian. Yet their church is exploding there under severe persecution. I've read and heard testimonies of people like on house churches, okay, undercover, where they don't even know where the other churches are, house churches, because they don't tell them lest they find them and they can persecute them. So they keep it secret from them. I heard one testimony of a family that moved out because of the persecution, and he said, later on we found out there was 500 other homes in the area where Christians were meeting, and we didn't even know how we would have loved to have met them. Spend time with our brothers and sisters. They just want to be together, and just like in the time of Nehemiah, they give the book to the priest and the Levite, read to us the Bible, read to us the scroll. Let us hear the words of God. I don't care about that one offending me or that one doing that or that one dressing like it. I don't care. I want to hear the words of God. It's not about me and what I get out of it. It's how I need to change my life and be acceptable in His sight and to be used by Him. And I believe the church in the West has largely missed this, you know, to the point that I've seen young Christians in America rightfully joke about this. You know, maybe you've seen it. There's a video going around of a young couple pretending they are looking for a church. Maybe they go from one mega church to the other, and they'll go in and they'll say, no, I don't quite like these seats. You know, these seats are a little bit too upright, maybe a bit more leaning. We'll try the other church. And they'll go there. No, the queue for the parking was a little bit too long. You know, so they keep playing on this idea and they meet with the pastor and say, well, we love the church, but the worship kind of went on 5 minutes too long. Maybe you could shave that off and maybe next time we'll come back, you know. So they play on these ideas and they're trying to highlight to the Western church, what has become of us? What have we become? Yes, and I know sometimes I get recommendations of things we can do for church growth, and there's this and there's that, and I've seen many of these things. They are just marketing tools that many churches have used to multiply their numbers. But it says the Lord added daily to those who are being saved, and that's what we're praying as we do outreach. The Lord would add to us, my friends. So I don't know, that just came out now. If that's for any of us this morning, let church not be about us, but let us come to church, my friends, with that attitude of, Lord, I'm here to serve you. What can I bring to my brothers and sisters? I might have shared this story before, but we were in South Africa a few years ago, and we went to a little church in Jeffreys Bay, and went in there and met the pastor. But one night he shared this story, how they'd been through a nasty, horrible time. I think it was a church split or something, and a lot of people left. But this family turned up, 8 children. Yes, they came with their minivan. and the family was there, so he's talking about, and the children were all like in the worship team. They were just helping everywhere. This whole family just came in. And so he was testifying of how this happened. He said, you know, here we are, we were a little church, we were struggling, and all of a sudden this family turns up, and they walk in and they say, Pastor, the Lord has sent us here. How can we help? What can we bring? And you know, he couldn't keep the tears back as he was sharing this. And he shared much the same, you know, ours has become all about us. And yet these people just came and they were just growing, they were flourishing. The people were in the church. It was lovely to see this family serve. And you know, it's something I think that we have lost. Come, let us behold the works of the Lord. Come, let us remember what he has done in our lives. And it goes on to say, he has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth, my friends. No more war in Ukraine. All these things, when Jesus comes back, it'll be peace, my friends. Like he gives it, not like the world gives it. He, God, breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. We got all our diplomacy, we got all our different clever ways to try and intervene and to mediate and to bring peace. To no avail. Think about the Middle East, yes? The divide and the rift between Israel and the Arabs, and many clever politicians try to get in there with all kinds of things. They cannot possibly resolve something that is so deeply spiritually rooted. Only Jesus is going to be able to fix that one. Only Jesus. He is the one who breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in fire. And then, my friends, we'll close with these famous verses. It just struck me as I was praying it this morning. Be still. Be still. And know that I am God. Okay? I've seen this in another translation. It's like, stop striving. Stop persisting down, or forcing your way down a path. Like, you know, where maybe the Lord is saying, my child, where are you going? What are you doing? Come back here. You're going to exhaust yourself. Come back. Come back and sit at my feet. Just rest, my child. Be still. And know that I am God. Yeah? What do we say when we say when he says, I am God? I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I was talking to the school children the other day. When we say God is holy, we are saying he is separate. He's not like his creation. Yeah? The only way we're made in his image, we resemble something of his image, but he himself is separate from creation. He is holy. He's not in the trees as such that we should worship the trees and bow down to the sun and the moon like pantheism and Hinduism and a lot of these religions would tell us. No, he is a holy God. And in his grace and his mercy, he came down into this world through his Son and so reconciled us back to him. My friends, when we say be still, when God says be still and know that I am God, that is an awesome, awesome statement. And I hope that's true of each of us this morning, that we can say, Lord, I just want to be still and know that you are. We sang that song, Lord, I'm sorry for the thing I've made it. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. I've broken it. Lord, I'm giving it back to you, okay? And you know, you think of any aspect of life, my friends, maybe even your marriage, your house, your finances, your job, whatever it may be, friendships this morning, your health. Lord, I've broken it. I'm giving it back to you. I'm just going to come and melt at your feet as I am and just stop striving. And I'm going to acknowledge that you, God, you are the potter and I'm the clay. Make me and break me. Make me into what you want me to be. Be still and know that I am God. And then these awesome words, my friends, from God himself, okay, where he says to each and every one of us, I will be exalted. I will be exalted among the nations. We get so angry when we walk around in London, the streets, and we see, even now, you see the flags flying again, the pride flag stickers everywhere, okay? And we see these things and we think, oh, so God would say to us this morning, be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the nations. It surely will happen. And he repeats this. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. One day, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father in heaven. Every body and person and spiritual being will know that he is Lord and he will be exalted among the earth. And then it finishes like this, my friends. Lest we forget, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. By God's grace, maybe one time we'll look at what Jacob and when he wrestled with God at Peniel, remember. That'll be another message for another day. My friends, but the God, the Lord of hosts, is with us. He is with you. Remember Gehazi, servant of Elisha, when he prayed, Lord, open his eyes, let him see. And what did he see? Chariots of fire all around, outnumbering the army that was surrounding them. I mean, it's just awesome. Oh, if only we knew that in our lives, my friends. And may that be a word for each and every one of us this morning. It's really spoken to me, and I believe the Lord just confirmed that this morning. And by God's grace, we'll come back to the 144,000 as he leads us. But I know the Lord is speaking to some of us, indeed all of us here this morning, okay, on two things. So one, if you have drifted away from the Lord and you are striving and you are laboring and you are bashing away in a battle that you're in and you're believing that you're all doing right, as it were, I believe the Lord is saying to you, come unto me, as Maureen has brought. Come unto the Lord. Yes, stop the striving. Just come and be still and know that he's God. Just come and give it back to the Lord. And then if he should say to you, like David said, Lord, shall I pursue these people? And the Lord says, go. Then you go. And you go and you fight with all your might because you know the Lord of hosts is with you. But if the Lord says, no, I want you to stay, my child, then you stay. Stay put. Safest place in the world is in the center of God's will. Most dangerous place in the whole world, outside of the will of God. Yes? Know that the Lord of hosts is with us. And then I just pray for each and every one of us this morning. If you've not made God your refuge in every area of your life, then there's an opportunity this morning. Yes? So I'm going to ask Dave and Jill, I know they prepared that song, Search Me, O God, if that's all right. And it's a good song for us to finish with. See if there be any wicked way within me. That's the right one, isn't it, Dave? Yeah. And as we're taking communion, we say, Lord, examine myself. And we're asking the Lord to examine us this morning. And whatever the Lord would show you this morning, my friends, I would just encourage you, don't leave this place until you've prayed with somebody, okay? I believe also there's a lot of this time and a space for just being alone. I personally sometimes prefer that, just going and pondering. But what I would just emphasize and stress is don't let the moment pass by, because the minute you walk out the door sometimes, a million and one things hit you, isn't it? It's like that, and you forget. But I would just encourage you, go take some time and spend some time with the Lord now at church, afterwards, or go for a walk, or whatever you do, or even at home. But yeah, you make peace with the Lord this day. Amen. So I'm going to ask you to stand and we'll pray. And then I'll ask Dave and Jill just to close for us in song. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, just for cutting across my plans even this morning, Lord. And because, Lord, we want to do what you want us to do. And, Lord, I just pray this morning as a church, as a corporate body here, Lord, we just want to come and say to you, Lord, we're sorry for the times when we strive and we push and we shove and fight in the flesh because of things we want to see. But Lord, we want to come back to you this morning and to just be still, to stop striving and to know that you are God. Lord, to know that you are the Lord of hosts. You are the one that is for us. You are with us. And that, Lord, that each and every one of us have the opportunity just to come unto you, to open that door unto you, and to allow you in, Lord, to receive from you that loving embrace even this day. So, Lord, I bless you, I praise you, I thank you for what you're doing in this fellowship. I thank you for what you're doing in each and every one of our lives even now. And, Lord, we can but only commit ourselves into your hands now and ask that, Lord, you take this word, Lord, and plant it deep in our hearts. And Lord, that it would grow and flourish and it would just highlight all the areas of our lives that need fixing, that need an examination. And so, Lord, as we sing this song in prayer to you this morning, Lord, I pray the heart to be open to you, that you would search us today and see if there be any wicked way within us. Lord, we bless you, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Dave.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me.